chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I want to look at two verses in 1 John that deal with God's love, how God made his love visible to us. And we see that here in 1 John. 1 John talks a lot about our obligation to love in chapter 3, also in chapter 4 here. And verses 9 and 10, God shows us the greatest example of love. And I'm going to begin just by reading the first 10 verses here of John chapter 4. I'll begin reading in verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Christmas season, you know, I think back upon some of the gifts that I received when I was a boy. And usually most of the gifts I received had to do with putting something together. Maybe that was true for some of you. But, you know, that was always my request to get, you know, a Lego set or something. You know, and then you spend the rest of the day putting it together. Or a model car or something. But the thing with those type of gifts is usually you have some instructions. And, you know, the best type of instruction, especially with the Lego sets, you have the pictures. And the pictures, those are really important because they actually tell you how to do it. You know, the words are there, but, you know, that's just for other people that like that. And the pictures are really what you need because they show you how to put the toy together. And here in these verses, John 4, 9 and 10, God is giving us a visible manifestation of love. And he's reminding us of what that is. That's Jesus Christ. And he's saying here, in this was manifested. And that word manifested means to make visible, to show clearly, to picture something so that it's impossible to mistake what it is. In this was manifested the love of God. And so we have here in these verses how God made his love visible. How God made his love visible to us. And, John starts out the chapter here warning us of false teachers. He says in verse 1, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. And here's how you know. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Okay, here's these tests. And then we come to verse 7, and he transitions into another topic here, it seems. Let us love one another. But, those two topics, I think, are very closely related. How do we know, how can we test the spirits? How can we discern false teachers, false brethren? Yes, we need to know what they believe. And do they confess certain things about Christ? But here's this other issue, too.
What about love? What about their love? And this is a very important topic. But I want to focus on how God displayed that love, how God made His love visible. And I think we see two different manifestations or ways in which He did that in verses 9 and 10. In verse 9, we have one, and then in verse 10, we have another, how God manifests His love. And in verse 9, I think it alludes to how God displayed His love in the incarnation. God displays His love in the manger. And we see the allusion to that, the reference to that in verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. God manifested His love through the incarnation, showed His love in the manger. With the term manifested, there's the implication of the fact that this was something that God had not done before. This was something that was unprecedented in human history. God had showed His love in other ways in the past to His people, giving them provision of their need, being with them in certain other ways, but never before in human flesh did God come and dwell with them. Totally unprecedented. And it wasn't something that was acted out in a realm that people couldn't get a hold of it. It wasn't something that God did in some other heavenly realm to demonstrate His love in heaven, which He could have done. No, the text says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. And that means in our sphere, in our realm, He acted this out. It wasn't in some heavenly realm, it was in this realm, the realm of humanity, He acted this out. And He displayed His love in the incarnation, especially by the person that was sent, the identity of the person here. And this really is an important fact in this sentence. The words that describe the identity here of Jesus Christ come at the very first part of the sentence here. And these words in verse 9 are, God sent His only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. God sent His Son. And that reminds us of the very close relationship that Jesus has with the Father. His own Son. And we remember that Jesus was before the Father. From eternity past, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So Jesus enjoyed this very close relationship. And then another word that describes His identity, God sent His only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. The word that describes the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. One of a kind. He only is the one who can display the love of the Father. Nobody else can do it except Jesus Christ. Totally unique. One of a kind. And then we see that God displays His love in the manger by the divine purpose that He has in this event. We see that again in verse 9, this purpose. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And we see in the word sent that God does have a divine purpose. It wasn't like God just let Jesus go and said, do what you can do. Just go down there and show yourself to them and see what happens. That wasn't it at all. God sent Jesus, and He gave Him a mission, a commission. This is what I'm sending you to do. We see that very clearly identified for us here at the end of verse 9. That we might live through him. That we might live through him. So this purpose is to give life to us. To give life to us. And life, of course, is something that is something that we can enjoy eternally. Everlasting life, but it's something that God can give to us, even right now. God gives life to us. And here we see God's love at its finest. You know, God does this action for us. He does this action for our benefit. You know, that's what love is. Doing something, doing some action to give somebody else a benefit that they wouldn't otherwise have. And God demonstrates his love by sending his son to give us that benefit. And we're reminded at the end of verse 9 that the only way that we can have that life is through him, through Jesus Christ. There's no other way we can access that. We can't perform some good deed, live a moral, even living a moral life, can't accomplish that. The only way that we can obtain eternal life is by believing Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the agent by which we receive eternal life. There's no other agent. He's the only one. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he says. God has that purpose for us in the incarnation. I was reading about a lady who was kind of having a hard time at the Christmas season, and she wanted to send Christmas cards to all of her friends, and so she was getting late in the season, and so she just went to the store, bought a box of Christmas cards, and signed her name on them, and sent them out, and okay, she got that done, and a couple of days later, towards New Year's, she had a couple cards left over in the box, and so she got one out and she looked at it, and she was very surprised when she read the poem inside, which said, this Christmas card is just to say a little gift is on its way. And oh no, now I have to get gifts for all these people. That's a nightmare there. But that's a scary thought for us. But that's exactly the thought that was on God's mind when he sent his son into the world. This is a gift that's on its way. I'm sending Jesus Christ into the world so that you people can have life. That's the ultimate end of this. That's the goal. That's the purpose. God demonstrates his love by this gift. And that starts in the manger. That starts in the incarnation, God becoming flesh. And then we see in verse 10 the second way that God displays his love. Not only does he display his love in the manger, but he displays his love in the cross. He displays his love in the cross. Here in his love, verse 10, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. God displays his love in the cross, his self-sacrifice. That's what he did at the cross. And verse 10 shows us the initiative behind that. It wasn't because of us that he responded to our love. Verse 10, again, not that we loved God. Makes that very clear. God's display of love was not a response to what he saw in us. He didn't say, oh, look at these people that I made. They're so lovely. I'm so glad that they love me, and so I think I'm going to do something nice for them. No. The initiative was not from us. God took the initiative. And it says in verse 10, he loved us. He himself loved us. The initiative in love here is purely his own. Purely his own. Now that tells us something about love, doesn't it? Love does not wait for something on somebody else's part before it shows itself. God took the initiative before he saw anything on our part. Not that we love God. God took the initiative. And then we see the self-sacrifice in the atonement displays his love. At the end of verse 10, God sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The propitiation for our sins. The sacrifice that Jesus came to perform was the means of satisfying God's wrath. That's what the word propitiation means. Propitiation is an appeasement. It is a satisfaction. And it's a word that takes us back to the Old Testament sacrificial system and even the Day of Atonement, where the priest comes in and he sprinkles the blood on the mercy seat. And that word mercy seat in the Greek translation of the Old Testament is this word, propitiation. The satisfaction of God's wrath. And it reminds us that God truly is angry with sinners. He is very displeased at our sin. He is a just and holy God. He cannot overlook that. But in his love, he sent Jesus Christ to be the sacrifice for our sins. He himself is the sacrifice. And the word is used back in chapter 2 and verse 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So Jesus Christ came to be the sacrifice, the means of satisfying God's wrath. And not only was he the sacrifice, he was the priest. He is the priest that offers himself as a sacrifice on our behalf. And this was the mission of the incarnation. It says at the end of verse 10, again, God sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God sent his Son to do this. There was no surprise in this. No mistake that caused this to happen. This was the purpose. This was the very purpose for God sending Jesus into the world. And it displayed his love. Someone said, he pardons our sins against himself at his own cost. He pardons our sins against himself at his own cost. You know, that's what happened. God, seeing all the creatures that he made, recognizing that they are rebels, that we are rebels against himself, and in spite of that, he comes down and he appeases his wrath for us, his wrath because of our sins. God displays his love in the cross. Read another story about a farmer in North Carolina that was going into town with his horses and his wagon, and he drove right into the center of town to do some business and got off the wagon, and the horses got scared. And they started rearing up and everything and started going down the street, and the farmer saw that. And he ran up and stepped in front of the horses, grabbed onto the reins, and the horses were still crazy, and they were going down the street still, and they were dragging the farmer along. And during the course of the whole thing, the farmer got trampled underneath the horse's feet. And finally, the whole thing ended. People were trying to rescue the farmer, and they're thinking, why in the world would he just step in front and let this whole thing happen? And then they saw in the wagon was his son. his son sleeping in the straw. Okay, now it makes sense. You know, the sacrifice that God made for us was even greater than that. God steps out in front of the horses, as it were, not for family, but for people that hate him, but for sinners. And he sacrifices himself to display his love. He displays his love ultimately by that sacrifice that he makes on the cross. So that tells us about love too. Love is not only action that we perform for the benefit of somebody else, but it is sacrificing ourselves for the benefit of other people. That's what love is. That's how we learn how to love, is by understanding what Jesus Christ went through on our behalf. And that was all because of love. In this, verse 9 says, was manifested the love of God toward us. You know, that love was manifested to us so we can learn about love, yes. But ultimately, so that we will love God in return. God wants us to understand the truth of what he did in sending his son in the manger and allowing him to die the cruel death upon the cross. And he did that so that we will believe that that was for us, and to turn from our sins and accept the gift that he offers us, that we might live through him. This is for our benefit. And so our response needs to be to accept that. Yes, I need that. I need that gift. And not, I don't care. I don't care what happens with Jesus and God. I don't care anything about that. No. This is for our benefit. And we need this. And we need to depend upon that. God displays his love. He makes it visible. He makes it visible in the manger. He displays his love on the cross. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you chose to manifest your love in sending your Son, Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, that we might live. How thankful we are tonight that you did that. We pray that each one of us would truly come to understand the significance of that, the sacrifice that was needed to appease your wrath. How thankful we are that that wrath is appeased, is satisfied through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.